Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Forecast is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Forecast is brought to you by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and My Ford Touch. Now your car can be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 104. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And we have done one family episode of Forecast, Scott Johnson, where we had our wives on to host the show.
Oh, and then you forget about the one other sort of family one where I had my sister on.
That's right.
So we've done this twice.
But we have never done a mother-daughter combo until today.
Until now.
Joining us, Sarah Lane, of course, from the TWiT Network.
Oh, hi, everyone. Good to be here.
And her mom, Linnell Lane.
Hey, nice to be here.
Thank you guys for joining us. That was really nice of you to agree to do this. This is really fun. I thought it was a nice... This is our last episode before the holidays.
Yeah.
So I thought having, you know, a little family atmosphere would be cool.
I will say that I think at one point it almost was brought up as a... Hey, your mom's in chat. It would be fun if she's on Forecast sometime. I think you guys were down at Fest or something
exactly.
A few weeks ago. And it kind of turned into, well, would she do that? And I said, well, I don't know. And then I think Tony said, well, what if you were on the show too? It's been a while. I have been on the show, but not in, at least a year and a half or so. And so I asked Linnell, my mother, and I really thought that you'd say, absolutely not a chance in hell. And you said, okay. So here you are.
Well, I can't imagine being on without you.
Right.
That would have been weird. But, okay, yeah, I'm here. So
too late to turn back now.
Here you are on the show.
All right, well, let's start off with one of the predictions from our listeners. This one comes from Staff Sergeant Michael Mugler. I think I'm saying that. It's either Mugler or Mugler in Afghanistan. He says, in your future talks about the government and how people would pick them, why not use our ability to connect with one another to vote on more than just who is in the seats of government? What I am talking about is, do we still need a House of Representatives? Could we end up seeing a time where we get a chance to vote on every bill on the floor? I know on another show there was talk on what would happen to all the libraries in the future could be used as a voting center for whatever was on the House floor. I'm sure more people would be involved with all that was going on if they were given a chance to vote on it, not unlike American Idol. I also think this would take care of the influence that lobbyist groups have on people in the government.
You know what? I like this idea. Here's the reason we have a House of Representatives now. So get ready for your history lesson, everyone. Actually, I'm not that well-versed. But I will say that for the most part, representation is there because we don't have another way to represent ourselves. So we need a dude or a lady to go into Congress, and they need to represent our district or our state or our whatever, our interests, because there was no better way to do it when this all got started. We are inching ever closer to a time where we have, like you could argue that we have the way now, but more and more, we're getting to a point where, because of just how connected everybody is all the time, we would be able to do this very thing. I think he's right on. I think it'll have a lot of resistance, especially right up front and probably for a very long time, because some will think that it goes against tradition. It goes against the founding principles somehow of this nation, when really what they're forgetting is, if we'd had this stuff then, we would have started it like that, more than likely. At least that's my take. And I think he's right. I think this is a good place to be. Sarah, I know you love talking about politics occasionally.
Oh, yeah. It's my absolute favorite subject. Mm. No, actually, politics is a great source of frustration for me many times for reasons just like this. You have people that are representing a much larger group of people. And in many cases, people can say it's the lesser of two evils or the representatives that you end up choosing. And sometimes their views either don't match your own from the offset or change over time while they're still representing you. And that is one of the things that upsets me the most, is hey, people change, and that's fine. But if you're representing me in a political sense, you changing when we used to agree on something is sort of scary and dangerous. That said, I am not sure that having the ability for the general population to vote on issues is going to fix a problem that already exists, that people don't vote in general. We have a lot of people who are very good people who could sway the system, and they just don't participate. So I'm not sure that an American Idol model.
That's the part that got me.
Is going to be the solution.
But you couldn't vote multiple times like you can on American Idol.
Yeah, that's true.
One would hope. Yeah.
There'd have to be some way to register the one vote, but. It would put some lobbyists out of business.
Mm. We have some experience with direct democracy here in California, where the ballot initiative process requires certain things to be put to the vote. And a lot of people decry that as one of the reasons we're so polarized and so paralyzed, I mean both words, in getting things done.
So is it not purely who got the most votes in that case? I mean, you can't.
Well, certain decisions have to be put on the ballot as are yes or no. Are we going to raise the property tax rate? Are we going to ban cell phones while driving? Are we, you know, this or that? Instead of being approved by the legislature, the assembly, they have to be approved directly by the people as a ballot proposition.
Sure. And there's also the issue of, let's say we do figure out a way for everybody to have a chance to vote. So everybody would have equal access to the technology that would allow for this. That's a major hurdle. But let's say that that's the case. Some maybe decline still, like they do now when they don't vote. But still, most people would have to have access. And then you would have to be able to stop the gaming of the system, which would happen just about immediately. There would be all, I think it would be fraught with potential, at least by today's hackery standards, potential for all sorts of fraud. And, you know, misuse and, you know, having a hard time keeping oversight over all of that. So there are definitely pratfalls and issues. But, if we ever really want a true democracy where everybody really did have a vote and majority just ruled the day, it seems like this sort of thing or something like it is in our future.
But
maybe
it's
far-flung future.
I think you're right. But do we want a true democracy? Because not everybody can be informed on everything, and one of the benefits of a representative democracy, theoretically anyway, is that you can have people who are experts put into places of making decisions that are better than the decisions you would make, because you don't know all of the different issues and you can't dive into them.
Well, and then you get into the electoral system, where a state, just because it has 15 times the number of people of a different state, doesn't necessarily get to choose just because there's a majority of people there. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated.
Yeah, it's easy for a room of 30 people, a room of 300 million people. Maybe not. Maybe not so much. So, yeah, I just feel like maybe it's the brain implant thing, Tom.
I'd like to see this on the local level. Where it's actually, like something that you easily have an opinion on, like trash pickup or, ordinances
and
things in your neighborhood.
Right. Should they put a stoplight by my house?
Yeah. And then the people who are affected by that stoplight can directly vote.
I would like to know if on the national level, let's just say, you've got every single person who's of legal age to vote can vote. What would be the percentage of people that would actually participate?
Well, that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a barrier of participation because of access, which Staff Sergeant Mugler actually addresses here. He says, we could turn libraries into points of access to try to overcome that. Mm-hmm. But then there's just interest.
Yeah.
A lot of people just don't want to participate.
Interest and a lack of understanding. I think a lot of people, they're not necessarily going to say, I don't get politics. But if you don't understand exactly what you're voting on, you're much less likely to participate because you don't want to vote on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if that old excuse would finally go away, though, of my vote doesn't really matter. I'm just a drop in a bucket. And even then it doesn't count anyway because, they've already done this whole, the way our caucus system works and everything else. It doesn't matter what I would have voted for because that all happened without me. If you said, well, no, that all can now happen with you. I wonder how much or at least what percentage of people would then get informed and would then get involved and get excited and get motivated. I don't know. It'd be an interesting experiment if we sort of try it without screwing everything up.
It doesn't pay you to get involved. A lot of people get involved because they like to or because it is their job. That's why we have lobbyists. But when you're a busy person working 9 to 5 and you're working outside of work a lot, checking your email on your phone and always trying to find out what's next on your project management list, getting educated on the issues falls down the priority list because it's not going to help you get a raise. I think that's the biggest problem.
Yep.
Personally, I'm a monarchist. I think we need an absolute monarch to take it all.
Right. Well, we just have so much evidence that it works.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing that?
Let's move on to our short-term predictions. By the way, folks, though, if you want to send us an email, by the way, Staff Sergeant Michael Mugler, thank you for your service, and thank you for your email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. That's where everybody can send them or post them on our blog, forecastpodcast.com. Short-term predictions. These are things you think will happen sooner rather than later, maybe in the next few years. And Sarah, we'll start with you. I have your old prediction from the first time you're on the show.
Am I not supposed to know?
Well, I can tell you or not. Your choice.
I know that this won't be the same because it's something that I have just been thinking about more recently. So for the purposes of fun, you could tell me what I predicted.
You predicted we will see a pullback from tech to eliminate distractions.
Aha, yes. Mm. That's actually something I still think, well, I actually think people are participating in that now. I don't think a lot of people are, yeah, that's actually something I still think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see colonies of people who purposely stay away from all of this stuff because it has spawned too many negative behaviors in people, especially with kids growing up and parents having had their children, let's say on Facebook since, you know, well before they were legally allowed to be type of a thing. I'm not saying that technology is bad and that people should be worried about it. I see that sort of commune, no tech type of thing going on. Mom, you're agreeing with me.
In other
news, the Amish have a huge influx in membership is what you're getting.
Right. I can remember the letting a television into your room. You know, where we thought that
you let her have a television in her room?
Well, eventually, fight for years.
Eventually it happened, much to my chagrin, and getting a phone. And just all that. To think about if you'd had texting and cell phones at that time.
Right. Which many, we're talking, what, 7th, 8th grade?
Well, you put a computer in a kid's room and they have a telephone and text message. All that stuff's on the computer.
Right.
They have
right.
more than you can, television and everything.
It would have been easier to keep track of you. Or it would have been more of a challenge for you.
That's true.
But, I think stepping away and you need more than just, well, this family's going to do it. That you actually need peer groups that are also off it, too, or else it would be
extremely isolating.
Extremely.
My new sort of this is in the next few years type of prediction, and this is actually coming from this the story of, I'm forgetting the company's name now, but it's Peter Thiel's investment of the offshore startup.
Yeah, I can't remember the company's name, but they want to create
Blue something
an offshore California area for people who can't get immigration to come and work in startups.
That's right.
Without violating immigration.
So the idea is you are subject to these fairly lenient maritime laws, international maritime laws, rather than whatever national law of the
U.S. immigration law. You can get around
exactly
it.
The coast of you're off of. And this is all very fascinating to me because you think, well, wait a second. In fact, Martin Sargent and I, he was a guest on the Social Hour today. We're talking about this a little bit. Wait a second. How is this going to be legal? Because the whole point is that work visas are very prohibitive and keep people from being able to work in the U.S. So all you do is just, you're going to work on, you know, what, some big like aircraft carrier 12 miles offshore. Well, yeah, legally, if they can do it, they will do that. I guess this is, to me, it's a proof of concept that if you can have people working offshore on anything, I mean, these are tech startups we're talking about right now, but it could be anything as long as you have the materials, electricity, internet access, et cetera. What's stopping this from growing into actual offshore communities? Now, I know that this kind of sounds sort of silly, like, well, why would you do that if it's so limiting and you could live on land? But it's like, I mean, why do people live way out in the country where it's 12 miles away from the nearest place to get milk type of thing?
Well, if you can get satellite internet and if you can get wave power generation, you got pretty much everything.
I think this is actually very attractive to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think that when you start factoring in how the laws would not apply to you, when you're doing whatever you're doing offshore, and of course, I mean, some laws do, you know, you can't just like murder
people because you're offshore. Law's going to come find you, yeah, right? Eventually, exactly. Right.
But I wonder how long it'll take for countries to try to shut this type of behavior down because it's scary, and you're obviously, you're manipulating a loophole that just was never manipulatable before.
Manipulatable.
I made up that word.
You would have these offshore colonies.
Yeah, kind of like an oil rig, except it would be a place where people live and work.
How long before some international group shuts it down?
Well, yeah, exactly. The law is going to come find you eventually. Right. It's like the Wild West, someone said in the chat room.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also, is an issue with like sprawl to me. I understand that the whole idea is to get away from some of that, but
yeah.
If these things go the way my science fiction brain works, then we're going to have, you know, connected towers in the water, and they're going to just keep getting bigger and bigger, and there's going to be a really bad side and a really great side, and then there's going to be fighting, and where are the best schools? And you kind of end up with the same problems, but now you're over the water and you have less in terms of options to sort of just get out of town. So I would worry about some of those things. But I'm not going to lie. The idea of living that way is like being on a moon colony or being on the first Mars expedition or something. There's something really cool about establishing society on your own, essentially your own man-made island, that is very intriguing to me. I think that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, you know, U.S. law doesn't apply to Australia. Why would it apply? We're not saying U.S. law. We're saying that the international community will start to gang up on these sorts of situations and come and through external pressure or some other, you know, blockade or sanctions, try to force them to play along with the international community if they got
it. It might be nicer with some of the people gone.
It's true. We've got a lot of surface area out there.
Right.
Right. You know, it's more, you know, property prices will come down.
Yeah. Breathing space.
Yeah.
Or like-minded people can go hang out on their island and maybe they are people that really bother me.
It goes like Clans of the Alphane Moon by Philip K. Dick. Sure. All the manics go to one island.
Right.
All the depressives go to one island.
Pescatarians, come with me.
You're in the ocean. Perfect.
it's
you know,
perfect.
What's interesting is this has actually come up on the show before about theme planets, the idea that, you know, there'd be a planet for angry robots and a planet for happy robots, a planet for cats and a planet for whatever theme we want to apply to the planet. This actually brings it down to a very realistic possibility. If it became economically feasible and I guess internationally acceptable to have these things there and now housing people and having people go there for whatever the reason, I keep talking like Sarah now. They got different ideas than other people. They all want to go out there and live on their own little island. Fine. But it seems like this is a lot more real and raw to me than the planet idea. They're like, this could actually happen. I think Sarah's maybe she's on to something that needs a bunch of factors to fall in line to make it happen, but
it's not improbable.
It doesn't seem that crazy to me.
Or impossible, I should say. Sybil in the chat room, I think, nailed it. We are talking about the Italian commerce states in the Middle Ages with their own armies and navies. That's a very good parallel to what that would could be ending up like. All right, Linnell, your turn for the short-term prediction, something you think will happen sooner rather than later, maybe in the next few years.
Well, I was thinking when I was asked to come on the show about sort of inventions or things that we don't have that would maybe make life better. So one of the things that bothers me a lot, I think it does for Sarah too, is noises.
Oh, sound. My gosh.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with this issue.
And so whether it's the barking dog or the neighbors talking too loud out, you know, in the next
repetitive keyboard.
Or the
typing.
Slight rustling of paper over in the next room.
Exactly. Or just the annoying coworker.
That's me.
Rather than sort of noise-canceling headphones that kind of take it all out, you'd be able to identify the unique sound wave. Scratches on a record that you can kind of take out of the recording and completely so that you don't receive those sound waves. You never hear it.
Yeah. Now, you were sort of doing this with your hand. Would it be something that, what would be the mechanism of?
Just dial it up?
Oh, yeah. There might be a little piece that you wear mm-hmm. in your ear. That's right. That's right. There would have to be that. And you would not be, or you could have it permanently implanted.
If I never had to hear a baby cry, I would do that.
I really thought you were going to say, hear me talk.
Or that.
Sort of same.
So it would be selective noise canceling.
I like it because you could actually tune in on the specific noise and then say select.
Select.
And then it's gone.
I had originally planned on, and it was kind of a... To redirect it.
Mm.
So the owner of the barking dog would have the sound
sent back.
but then it might just, generally increase the ambient noise all over. Right. So it's an elimination.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So I've got this little white noise device that I don't know where it is right now, but I haven't found it for a long time. I haven't seen it for months. But basically, it lets me tune white noise up as loud or as quiet as I want and at different frequencies. And the idea being, if I'm hearing a siren that won't stop outside or whatever the sound is that's offending and I'm trying to sleep, this thing supposedly, although I would argue that it doesn't always sort of do what it says, you can dial it up or down to match the frequency or to match what would need to be masking the frequency of the sound you're hearing. And it doesn't seem like that technology needs that much further to go than to figure out ways of doing that silently, making it so you don't have to hear white noise to drown something out, but, to be able to drown out stuff you don't want to hear. So I know people with like tinnitus, people with ringing in their ears that's just sort of constant, they use these devices to cover up that sound. They just don't hear it once they play. And it's for them, it's a fairly miraculous device.
Right.
I doesn't feel like too many stone skips away to do what Linnell's talking about. And I feel like we're,
not at all.
We're probably only a few years away from such a thing.
I hope so.
Yeah. I don't really hate babies that much. It's just a
just
really,
the crying.
It's a good example. I was on a lot
just
of
grow up and be quiet.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, you were.
Well, no, I'm sure Sarah never cried when she was little, right? Never. No baby crying.
Never.
Yeah. Okay. See, so I mean, so it would have sucked, right?
Yeah,
I wouldn't have wanted that.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I just feel bad for people whose babies cry.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Ford, and voice activated sync. Got a chance to drive around in the Ford Focus last week. Take a look at what we found.
I'm Tom Merritt here with the 2012 Ford Focus to take a look at sync with Wi-Fi connectivity. You can turn this entire car into a rolling hotspot so all the passengers have Wi-Fi for all their different devices. Pretty cool stuff. So if you've got a BlackBerry phone, you can just actually tether your BlackBerry via Bluetooth, or you can get one of these wireless access cards from a carrier. Now, in some models, the USB port may be under the radio or in the glove box. In the 2012 Ford Focus, it's right here in the center armrest, and I'll just plug it right in. So now that we have wireless access, we have Wi-Fi available in the car for up to 5 devices. So Liz can use her tablet and just use her device. Everybody stays nice and quiet, and the driver can enjoy the ride. So that's a look at how Ford Sync with My Ford Touch featuring Wi-Fi connectivity works. It's available on the 2012 Ford Focus, and you can find out about all the Ford technologies at ford.com/technology.
All right, and thank Ford for their support of Forecast. Let's get into long-term predictions. And Sarah, we'll start with you this time again. These are more of the in 100 years sorts of things, longer term. I'm not going to tell you your old prediction until after this time. So we'll
I want to see if she repeats it.
See how it matches up.
Oh, why do I have to go first?
You don't. You want to throw your mom under the bus like that? You
no,
know, that's
I'm not throwing her under. Do you really want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay. the next 100 years. All right. So we're all living in coastal cities offshore already. This is the sort of thing. I remember when I did the show last time, I was like, 100 years, got it. And I didn't want to think about it too much ahead of time because I have these predictions all the time. But
you don't have a prediction, do you?
No, I do. It's just some of them are sort of stupid. In 100 years, I believe that we are going to have a very real crisis where people live to be about 200 years old, if not 300. Right now, I mean, people are living longer and longer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have more and more illnesses and diseases that are cropping up that didn't necessarily affect people before. But I think that the medical advances are going to continue to leapfrog over the disease setbacks. And that is an issue because overpopulation is obviously an issue, and in certain places more than others. It was actually very interesting. I was in Spain last week, and MG and I were just looking up some like facts about the country because we were like, how many people live in Spain? We actually don't know that offhand. And their population has declined quite a bit, even in the last 10 years. That's sort of unusual. I mean, it's declined in a few other places too. Japan's another one.
Yeah,
but
the more developed the country is, tends to start declining unless it's canceled out by immigration.
But then there's also the developing countries that are, I mean, on like a rocket ship course to sort of be the first at everything. I mean, China and Brazil come to mind, India, of course, too, that, I mean, the populations are huge and just getting bigger all the time. And I don't know what's going to happen. I hate the idea of high rises being sort of the horizontal
arcologies,
right? Yeah. That needs to happen in urban areas because I think we also have the real issue of suburbs not working, or not working all the time. And sometimes suburbs are great, but we've seen, especially with housing crises and gas prices, that it can really, really be debilitating not to be in an urban area, and this sort of trend of people moving to urban areas that we see is certainly, especially in developing countries, and living longer and with certain cultures needing to take care of their elders. I don't know. I just worry about it. I think that's an issue. We all know it's there.
So there's going to be a bunch of 300-year-old people wandering around cluttering up the place.
Well, yeah.
Unless we move them out under the ocean.
Even then, they're going to need people to take care of them. It's like, okay, people say overpopulation, water crisis, overpopulation, wars between the haves and the have-nots. Like, that all factors into it. But I'm more concerned with the actual geographical issues. Where are all these people going to go?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to build up. But I feel like that's not necessarily the right idea. I think that's kind of the only idea right now. And offshore.
Or in Texas. Building. Remember, Tom, our Texas thing?
Right, we could fit all the people into Texas. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, nobody wants to go there, but yes, we could do
that's
that.
That's not true.
Listen, I'm just kidding. But Austin, maybe, that'd be all right. But 200 to 300-year-old people that say walking around, one of the problems I see, and maybe this, I don't know, maybe this will make sense or maybe it won't, but so as populations in areas like, say, India skyrocket, the one thing I notice, or at least my limited view that I've seen through documentaries, a couple of friends who live there, and a few other sort of bits of data that aren't, you know, super scientific, it seems like culturally they've got a better way of dealing with it than we would if we were faced with this. So my fear is more about, well, if we end up with 200, 300-year-old people here in this country, we're already bad at taking care of our elders. We're terrible at it. We're a youth-based culture. We treat, you know, older people like dirt. We think that they're washed up and done. Just let them go. Put them in a house. Put them in a home where I don't have to deal with it. Get them out of sight, out of mind. And over there, they don't do that. They take care of them forever. They're in that same house they're in. You may be a brand new married couple who's just now thinking maybe we'll have children. And meanwhile, great grandma and grandma are living upstairs and you're making food for them and helping them. And they're doing it with a smile. At least it seems like it. I think it would be a huge shock to our system to have to do that. And I worry more about our reaction to that than some of these developing nations. Clearly, they already have ways of dealing with it, with how that they, you know, how they handle their elderly in their culture. So, Sarah, do you feel like that's the biggest pratfall? Are we one of those westernized countries that have gotten too used to our youth culture and we're just
pitfall.
Not willing to do what it takes?
I think you mean pitfall.
What'd I say? Pitfall?
Pratfall.
Oh, I meant pitfall.
Oops. It's not a Three Stooges thing.
You know.
It's different word day. Yeah, that's definitely a concern. I just don't think in 100 to 200 years that these developing countries really will exist the way that they do now. I don't think that all countries are going to be on equal levels in a couple hundred years, but I don't necessarily think that Rwanda is going to have any of the same issues that it does now. Right. Things change.
I mean, look at China.
Exactly.
Just in
that
the past
didn't
30
even
years.
Take very long.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It has changed mm-hmm. tremendously. So is India. So most of the South Asian countries.
Yeah.
I think if you can maybe take religion out of it, that places that have high birth rates, they also have a high mortality rate, and they need.
There's a pressure on them.
There's a pressure to keep the population going, but I think if people are living to 200-300 years. Now we're getting biblical, but they're going to need to be some other adjustments in, and the birth rate needs to be lower. We can't just be stacked up in skyscrapers and living in, in chicken coops. I think that if we can keep people alive that long, that we need to evolve socially as well.
Yeah. Other planets, too.
Well, yeah.
I think that's got to be at least a consideration.
Exactly.
And I we'll have all these cities in the ocean, too. Don't forget.
Right.
So I'm going to stick everybody
out
there.
You want more than two kids? You got to live.
You got to live in the ocean. Sorry.
12 miles off.
Yeah. It's just the way it is. See ya. You're free to have as many children as you want as long as you go live in the ocean.
Will milk be made available?
this is an important consideration. It really is. All right. Let's turn it over to you, Linnell, for your long-term prediction, the flying car sort of timeline. What do you have?
Well, what I had thought of was, and this isn't that far out there, but it may take a while. In the way that you have a calculator, and then you get your result, in running a tape, you could do that for thought. You could download all your thought and remember what had been, or even thinking things through.
See your thought process. That's interesting.
You could see your thought process. What would be very dangerous is if anybody were to hack into that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is, I thought it was a good idea until I thought of that. Even when you, why did I go to this room?
Like a quick
rewind.
Oh, yeah, I went.
30 seconds skip back.
Exactly.
Oh, that's why.
It's a little bit like a rewind, mm-hmm. like a DVR. Missed that. Or, wait a minute, what was I doing out here in the kitchen? You could go back.
Can you fast forward too? When you start just thinking along a bad line, you're just like, you know what, I need to get out of this.
Well, you might.
Yeah.
You might.
That'd be cool.
Because I think sometimes we're ahead of ourselves
physically. Then,
or our mind is a step ahead of ourselves, so we could actually get there. So it would be a way to rewind. And if that much is being recorded, you could actually print it out wirelessly.
Nice.
Ooh, I like the bonus feature there. The idea that we could create a way, a device, a technology for people with short-term memory loss who suffer from that. I know people who have been, I know someone who's been in a car accident and he cannot remember anything for the last 10 minutes. And it's this perpetual 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
That he can never seem to remember.
It's like Memento.
He would love it if he could just, And he would love it if he could just sort of go, what was I doing? Oh, that's what I was doing. And essentially we give him his memory back. Like this would solve a huge problem for people who have this as a natural disorder, those who've gotten it from injury or whatever. And as, you know, as my mom gets older, I would love her to have some short-term memory help. She's, you know, she's getting there. And she's not, you know, we're not talking about full-blown down-the-road Alzheimer's patients or something. And maybe that would help them too. But the bottom line is this is maybe a way, well, maybe this helps Sarah's prediction further along. Maybe you don't want it necessarily. But yeah, they have, being able to go back and say, what the heck was I just doing? I mean, we do this now. I get so busy with stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, what was I going to do? Oh, I'm supposed to show up for forecast in 5 minutes. And, you know, just bring it back like that would be awesome. And that way, who cares if it gets hacked? All they're going to ever see was, oh, I was going to come in here and pick up that box. It's not going to be, oh, I killed a guy in Reno in 74.
Unless
it's
you
not going to be, well, sure. I like it.
Unless you're thinking your thoughts could be useful to others, you know, premeditation.
You could choose to share them in that that way, yeah?
I just feel like, don't you ever, does anyone else ever, let's say you're thinking about, okay, like a song that you don't like is an example of something
that's... That's what I want to fast forward.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's like something that we all have where it's like, oh, I really need to stop thinking this. But every once in a while, I'll even, let's say I'm trying to go to sleep and my mind is kind of racing. It's like, I'll say, okay, now I'm not going to think about what I'm thinking about right now. And the more I don't want to think about it, the more I think about it. And it becomes this sort of like crazy war with myself. And it's really uncomfortable. That would be a weird thing to look at, you know, as a, some sort of a transcript.
Well, maybe you could have thought canceling.
Maybe.
Delete.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Eternal Sunshine.
I'm loving the thought DVR.
The lacuna cord.
Or... You know, where you're out having a great walk and you realize that you've come up with a really good storyline with dialogue and then but thought of having to write it down is just too much. You just bzzz, and it comes out.
Yeah.
It can come out in a printout. You'd have to train it.
Like speech recognition gets trained.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there are some things, I think, especially like emotions, that aren't necessarily verbal.
There might be a way to mark up to indicate those sorts of things.
Maybe images.
Yeah.
Maybe artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Brain emoticon.
Brain emoticons. just a smiley face.
Feeling yellow.
I'd be afraid I'd look at my thought pattern and go, that's the way I think?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Dumb.
Right.
Like, that's not logical at all.
Be like WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Look what Dom is thinking. This is awful.
Look how disordered his brain is.
But maybe that would be good. Maybe you would learn from that. You would be a better thinker. Maybe that would train you, you know. And this, we've talked on the show a bunch of times about, you know, augmented reality and having implants in our eyes that would let us see things overlaid on the real world. And you could have that, combine it with this, see post-it notes on objects. I mean, literally put a mental note on something that says, call Sarah about this thing. Boop, there's literally a little physical looking note stuck to an object in the world that you'll only see when you come back and, you know, vision of that object. Check it, see it. Now, wait, what was I thinking with that? Go back, find out. Love it.
The thought DVR.
Yep.
Coming soon. Well, we're within 100 years.
Sure.
You know, Sarah, we didn't mention your long-term prediction last time was we'll all speak one language.
Oh, yeah. I still, well, I don't actually hope that happens because I love languages. And it's kind of a fun hobby of mine to study one or two at a time. Never with any success, but I still find it interesting. But I do still think that we're headed in that direction.
We're all going to speak Mandarin, folks.
I don't think it's going to be English.
I don't think so either.
Give us
English is what Latin was in like the years 500,
sure.
400. So it looks like it'll last forever.
Well, and I remember when my mom, Linnell here sitting next to me, I remember when you told me, you know, when you got out of college and were traveling through Europe, it was like everyone spoke French. That was always
everyone
the
did.
Second language that everybody would learn.
Right. Mm-hmm. If there was a country, I couldn't speak Spanish or German, but everybody could speak French. So
I can't imagine that being the case now.
That's interesting.
Because I've only known getting by with English, where, you know, sometimes people be sort of reluctant.
But they know
it.
They know it well enough.
Yeah. More than they would French, Western France.
All right, let's go to the crazy-ass predictions now. Really far out there forecast. And, Linnell, we'll start with you this time, since Sarah expressed reluctance about going first. We'll change it up.
Crazy-ass. I don't know. I'm probably going to be dead by then.
Well, the crazy doesn't have a timeline. So it could be 2,000 years, or it could just be something like really crazy and unlikely. So you can go lots of different directions.
Well, it would be time travel. And
that's outside of time.
I'm not that interested in traveling forward, but to travel back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the...
You want to be a time tourist, don't you?
A time tourist,
yes. So what era would you choose? I mean, if you could at least just either choose one or the first one.
I'd like to go back to the American West before all of this was settled. Like...
Cowboys and Indians?
Kinda.
Or before that?
Maybe before that, without the strife of cowboys and Indians.
Right.
Yeah.
Of seeing, the West.
Just Indians.
Just the Indians. That's
yeah, really. Just Indians.
Right.
They were chilling. Well, right. They were fighting each other.
Prediscovered
America.
I would. You know what? That's so funny. If I could go back in time, I always say the Old West, but I want to go right in the thick of it. I want to be where there's saloons. I want the myth of the Old West is what I want to visit. Yeah. I'd probably be disappointed. I'll get there and go, oh, it's nothing like I thought. But I love that period. And that would be what I'd pick.
It would actually be pretty harsh, I think. And, people died young but
a lot of tooth decay.
A lot of tooth decay.
Bad food.
But I think San Francisco at the time of the gold rush, the Barbary Coast and
I've always wanted to, when I think about time travel, I want to go forward and see how things turn out sometimes. But I also want to go backwards, and I either want to go to Roman Britain just to see, because we know so little about what it was really like, just out of curiosity. And but I'd also like to go back to the 30s. 30s or 40s.
Why the 30s?
Just because it seems cool. And I you know what? I kind of want to disabuse myself of that notion because I have grandparents who told me, it wasn't really that
different. A lot of depressed
different.
People in the 30s.
Well, not the Depression era 30s, but the kind of the 30s into the 40s, jazz music. You know, that
black and white.
Yeah, yeah. The world was in black and white back then, right?
Do you think we'd be able to take ourselves, our who we are now, into that time, going forward or going back?
Owen Wilson did it.
And if Owen Wilson could do it, anybody can do it. Well, that's a really good question. If there is time travel possible, is it a perceptual thing or is it a physical thing? Like, are you actually visiting or are you just going to be able to see into it? I've often felt like what's more likely is we'll be able to create something like a time telescope where you can direct it at points in not only space but also time and see what was happening then, but you wouldn't actually be able to physically deliver your body to that location.
Well, this is the other problem. My mind's very practical. I think about the serious issues of spatial issues. So let's just say 20 years ago I said, all right, I want to go to 2011 and I want to go to the ninth floor of that really cool old hospital in Springville, Utah, because it's this like ancient place and everyone considers it this amazing building built in the 1800s. I want to see what it looks like in 2011. The time machine would pop me on the top floor of that thing that's no longer exists. They tore it down like 6 months ago. I would fall to my death. So I think about these kinds of things like, well, I want to see what the world's like in 2085. Well, what if the whole thing's a big burning cinder at that point?
Yeah.
I'll just pop in, burn, and I'm dead. So it's those kinds of, we need a better way of knowing where we're going to end up physically.
That's why you need the time telescope, Scott.
Right.
So you can scout it out first.
Scope the place out. This looks like a nice field. Let's go.
This one's not burning.
Marty McFly got lucky because he got the car ended up in that barn, but he could have just as easily, you know, materialized in a big block of concrete. That's just scary to me. I hate that idea. It sounds terrible.
I know. And why did that farm family just go like, and run off and not report him?
It was a different time.
They just said, we don't want anything to do with it. Run.
Communists.
We'll no longer be a problem to you.
All right. Sarah, let's go to your crazy ass prediction.
Crazy ass prediction. The reason I think that this is crazy ass is because I know that, unfortunately, the humans aren't all good. There's a lot of bad in the world, and... I don't think going into the future is going to help what is just sort of a human behavior where people don't get along with each other. They can be selfish or they can be mean. It just is part of human nature. However, when I hear about things like beef being grown out of a petri dish,
mm-hmm.
so that people could enjoy everything that they like about a hamburger without actually killing an animal,
mm-hmm.
I get really excited because I don't actually have a problem with eating a petri dish steak.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with the cow that has to be sacrificed because I'm just not into that. That's just not something that sounds fun to me at all. It's never really been worth it. Well, certainly not since I stopped eating red meat, for example. But when I hear about things like that, I think, wow, okay, it's absolutely crazy us to think that we could somehow get rid of things that seem cruel or that seem it's like to bring out the worst in people. That sort of things that make people feel bad. About survival, right? So it's like, okay, well, eating meat, I know that I only come from one very specific school of thought, and some people don't have a problem with that at all. But I think a lot of people who eat meat say, hey, man, I wish nobody had to die, but that's the way it works, and I don't really have a choice. If people are given the choice so that those sorts of things can be sidestepped, I like the idea of people becoming, I don't know, kind of more gentle and less violent. I think that's crazy ass because I just don't know that that's the way that human nature works. But I like to think that it could be possible to be more of a utopian place.
Clearly, people can strive for it. And you're doing that in your own way. Other people do it in their own way. I guess what I'm most excited about your prediction is the contrast between it and its very humanitarian, very optimistic viewpoint, and the one you did when you first came on the show and did a crazy ass prediction, which is the most fantastic thing in the history of the show. I don't know if you remember it or not, but Tom, you should tell her what it is.
Our skin will evolve into a protective candy shell.
Yeah, like Tic Tacs. I still think that'll happen.
I love that one.
The best part is that it's not just a protective shell. It's a protective candy shell.
Right, yeah. Like a Tic Tac, which are also delicious.
So we will stop killing other creatures and stop doing things that make us feel bad to make us survive, but we'll evolve a protective candy shell.
Now, the protective candy shell, mind you, is more about harsh effects of sunlight than about your enemy, you know, knifing you in the shoulder, although it could work for both things. But let's say we're still a very lovely utopian society and nobody's killing each other.
We're eating
anymore.
Meat out of petri dishes.
Meat
nobody's
out of petri
killing
dishes,
anything anymore.
Best burgers you ever had.
Living to 300 years.
However, the sun is still a problem. The sun is not going to be part of this utopian society because the sun is just...
Because our generation screwed it up for everybody.
That's right.
What about instead of having a candy shell, it was like those glasses that, you know, when you go outside... they darken for the sun so that based on the
polarized.
Light, your what is it, melanin?
Yeah, the pigment in your skin, the
yes,
melanin.
Yes, would protect you.
Well, that's sort of what it's supposed to do now, except that it doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't.
Transition skin is what
no,
I'm talking
yeah,
about.
I like the idea of skin that just changes to dark in the sun and then lightens back up when you come inside. Yeah.
I love the idea of...
What if you just wanted dark skin all the time?
Well, the color of the skin is different than the pigment protection,
right?
I mean, you know, people with dark skin could still burn,
right.
So your skin would just change back to its normal color, whether that's light or dark.
Right. I love the idea of being able to have a burger without having to kill a cow.
Sure.
Because I do like burgers, and I also love cows, and I'm conflicted. And I try to not think about it. I just try to think about the meat in the package.
Right.
Well, we've made it easy. We've remade it really easy for you to do that now. So if you go to a Five Guys Burgers and Fries or an In-N-Out or something, you're just getting this tasty thing that you're not really, you're in a position where you're really not thinking about what it used to be.
Yeah.
And we've gotten so good at that that now, in the old days, you had to go kill your cow to get your freaking meat. And until we start doing that again, well, they will keep separating them. They'll be like these disparate things that have nothing to do with each other, which is part of the problem, I guess.
And we're training children in cafeterias all across our schools right now to eat soy burgers.
Yeah.
So what would we do with cows? Would we just have them as pets or just kind
of? Good question.
Nice.
They're very expensive. They're very bad on the environment with all their methane.
Mm-hmm.
So probably wouldn't want to breed them as much.
Right. Yeah.
They'd be more collectibles.
Utopia is complicated. There's a lot to work out, but I like the idea. I mean, cows are awesome. Who wouldn't want to have a pet cow? When I drive up to Petaluma every single day, because it gets very rural on the stretch of Highway 101, somewhere between, you know, San Rafael and Petaluma, there are all sorts of cows on the side of, of the road. And I think that is so great. Just have an acre and a little cow.
Cows are... They're boring.
They're
though.
Adorable.
They're cute.
You ever seen cow eyelashes?
Cute. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They are
I'm familiar with cows.
Well, they might be boring, but I mean, so is a baby.
Careful.
Just kidding.
Don't offend someone by saying dog. Baby. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Boring. Totally boring.
I only said that because, you know, we're doing the baby thing right now. But no, I don't know.
You are.
I'd like a pet cow.
I would like a protective candy shell.
Me too.
Personally. All right. Let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Netflix, streaming thousands of TV movies and TV movies, as well as TV shows and movies to your Xbox, your Wii, your PS3, your laptop, your iPad, your iPhone. It's all over the place. And you can get it for free for 30 days at netflix.com/twit. If you already are using Netflix, tell a friend. Let them know this holiday season. Cheap out on a gift. Just give them a URL, netflix.com/twit. They'll get 30 days of unlimited streaming of everything in the Netflix catalog to almost every device you can think of. And we thank them for their support of Forecast, netflix.com/twit. What time is it, Scott Johnson?
Well, Tom, it's 5:50 in the mountain. Oh, you mean like for the show? Well, then I should tell you that it's time for four questions. This is rapid fire style four questions. We ask our guests quickly. They do not have a chance to think too hard about it. They must answer from the gut. I'm going to be asking Linnell my questions. Linnell, are you sitting comfortably in the studios?
I am.
Okay, good. Here we go. My favorite question that I've ever been able to ask is this first one. In the future, which would you prefer from Sarah? 25 grandchildren or one giant grandchild?
How big is the giant grandchild?
Not too big. We'll say the size of a candy-coated cow. How about that?
Wow. That's pretty big.
I would say 25.
Mom! Okay. 25 awesome. Live.
Do you want the cow-sized can?
Well, yes. Yeah. I think that would be a lot easier to handle.
Those are guaranteed C-sections. All right, number two. If you could place one item on a space capsule for aliens to find one day, what would it be?
Yeah, it's a tough call.
TikTok.
One thing.
Just one thing. For the aliens to find.
The giant grandchild.
They open the space capsule.
The giant grandchild.
And they find.
Sacrificed for the future.
That's right.
You're not supposed to think. You're just supposed to answer.
Jeez.
It can be silly.
Stop thinking.
A cat.
Aww. A fuzzy cat.
Perfect. Perfect.
Life support and everything, obviously.
Oh, well, of course,
The cat could be like, here's the best representation of what we've got.
An ambassador from our planet.
Right.
Wow. And then third, when soccer is banned in the year 2045, what will be the world's new favorite international sport?
Baseball.
Good answer.
Perfect. It's a great answer. That is our goal.
Because Japan and the United States.
That's right. Japan and then the world. Which planet in our solar system would you rather live on, assuming we made it habitable for humans and this one was no longer livable?
Venus.
Oh, very nice. We'll be on Mars, Tom and I.
It's nice and cloudy on Venus, and it's terraformable.
And it's full of love.
Well, that's the planet of love. That's true, too.
Venus. You have successfully answered four questions. I really liked your first question. Nice job, Tom. I hand it to you.
Sarah, are you sitting comfortably?
Yes, Tom, I am.
Good. Then we'll begin. Question number one. Given our future will be ruled by intelligent cats, what will life be like under their governance?
Oh, lot of muffins.
Mm-hmm.
Cats love those. There may be some...
socialized muffins. Got it.
Right. Allergy concerns.
Ah.
Because, let's face it, there's a lot of pet dander.
Yep.
And when they're running the show, there's not going to be a lot of cleaning up.
Mm.
I think that what's actually great and we're really going to love is the new kind of work philosophy, which is work for like 5 minutes mm-hmm. and then sleep for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So as far as taking a load off, we're really going to welcome our new cat overlords.
We're going to be striking for the 4-minute workday because 5 minutes is too long.
If that.
Inhuman.
You know, a lot of stretching.
Yeah.
You know, kind of yoga.
Yeah, we'll be very limber.
Yoga will be big. Mm-hmm. You know, cats love that sort of stuff. And I think in general, it'll be a lazy life, but a very cute one.
I'm looking forward to it, and all the lols that will come with
much
it.
Cuteness.
That's right.
Question number two: you are the first to meet the aliens from outer space. What's your first question for them? They land in your apartment. MG's not home. And new aliens come up and say, hello. What do you ask them?
Can I come with you?
That's probably what I'd ask. Where are you going? Let's go for a ride.
You got here.
Nice ship.
Where are you going next? I want to go.
Question number three. What will it take to get you to travel into space? You kind of answered that just now. An alien showing up in your apartment. What will it take to get you to travel into space? Wine? Chocolate? Something else?
Oh, well,
I'm thinking like on a NASA flight, they want to send you to the moon.
So people always give me a hard time because I'm the person who's like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm claustrophobic. That seems really far. Even if Virgin Galactic could get me up for less than $200,000, which is what they're quoting right now.
Our new Virgin Galactic flight with complimentary wine, chocolate, and kittens.
I could get that at home so easily.
In space.
At the corner store. In space.
Floating kittens.
Zero gravity. It's like if an alien's like, we've got a planet, it's awesome, want to
totally
come, that's different. Going up into space simply to sort of be there and look back at Earth really far away is sort of like the anxiety I get on planes times a million.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if it was free, it would be a really hard decision for me to make.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was paid, it would be an easier decision for me to make.
So they need to pay you.
Money.
Okay, got
That's
it.
That's the answer.
Question number four. When you wake up from your cryogenic sleep in 1,000 years, it's the year 2111, what will you do first?
Eat Petri meat.
Take me to the nearest Petri burger.
I'll be hungry and probably low on
probably.
Blood sugar.
Yeah.
What would be the first thing I would do in 1,000 years, provided that anyone is still even here?
Right. You may go, where is everyone?
Yeah. this didn't work out well. I think I would go to the beach, see if it's still there.
There's probably a Petri burger stand at the beach, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Kill two birds. Well, don't kill any birds. We don't need to.
You know, maybe I would do, go to the movies.
Oh,
what's out?
Yeah.
You know, if it's summer,
right?
Let's see the new Mission Impossible.
What's the Mission Impossible 312 is out.
Yeah.
Come on,
see. Crazier gadgets than ever.
All right. Well, that is the end of four questions, and that is the end of our show. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it wasn't that bad, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
thanks.
Good. You were great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You have good
Thank
predictions. You. You're smart.
The chat room loved you.
Ah. Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
This was really fun. And Sarah, of course, thanks to you, too.
Anytime.
You can find Sarah's shows all over the Twit Network. iPad Today, The Social Hours, Tech News Today. I'm not forgetting any of them.
No, I don't think so.
That's it. So check those
out. My invisible shows.
Right.
You'd need to be
hard to find.
Different dimension to right. see those. But they're
if
really
you're
good.
Out of phase, check out our invisible shows. Scott Johnson, anything for you to plug before we get out of here?
No, sir. Just looking forward to Christmas and wrapping, you know, shows up for a little holiday break. We're not going to be here next week.
That's right. We'll be off for a week for the holidays. And then, well, I guess it's Boxing Day, right? Next week. So we'll be off for Boxing Day next
Monday. We'll be boxing.
Because we will be boxing. And then
I'll be mostly sparring, but not really. Boxing.
Yeah, well, we wear the little Olympic helmet things. We don't do the
right.
full on.
And then
2 weeks from now, we'll be back before we go to CES. And then the CES week, we won't have a show. So
that's
right. We're going to be every other week here until after CES.
Yeah, a little spotty for the holidays. But I just hope everybody listening enjoyed this year's worth of forecasts. I know I have, Tom. And, you know, if they want to follow me during the holidays, see what's going on, Twitter's the best place. Extra Life is the Twitter account. I look forward to seeing people there.
I will be in Coruscant.
Nice. I probably will too. But.
Don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email, forecastpodcast@gmail.com. That's it for Forecast for 2011. We'll see you next year.
When it's 2012. And the Mayans get us.
But it's only 32 years away.
I can't remember. What's the name of our server?
Everyone's really nice. Everyone's very nice.
Very nice.
You got them.
I know. Somebody gave me this for a gift. A fan sent this to me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The Pez collection of all the Lord of the Rings main characters.
I bought that I bought that when I was out shopping for the Daily Gizwiz when I filled in for Leo.
It couldn't be more awesome. I love it. His name is Christopher Toppin. If he's out there listening, dude, you are the man. I totally appreciate that. It's a really nice gift. Nice thought. But I was going to say something to you just now. I forgot.
Keller's Void is what you're going to say.
Oh, so Keller's
Void.
That's
you need
server.
To do the yep. mind DVR.
Rewind.
Oh, yeah. See? Exactly. Well, I could really use it today. Today's one of those days where I
think everybody's had a bad. Yeah. Must be the holidays.